This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Scoop!
Ryan Clements is here.
안녕하세요.
It's been too long.
Hey.
And Anthony Gallegos is here. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing
excellent.
TGIF, am I right?
Yeah, buddy.
Nice family
what's,
matters.
What's the matter?
Greg every time gets mad when I just say hi. I don't have a catchphrase, all right?
Clements doesn't have one.
I just say hello in different languages.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hola.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it.
Multicultural.
We are. We're a very multicultural podcast.
I'm feeling it. Guys, I got so much energy.
Yeah?
David, guide me somewhere. Show me the way.
You've been back and forth to the office twice already today.
Yes.
And
I've been doing a lot of traveling.
10:44 a.m.
Yes. I had to run home and get my passport.
Oh, you went and did that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, that's all done.
So maybe we should tell listeners why you have to go home and get your passport.
So, hey, it might not even happen, but as of right now, I had to get my passport because a Korean traveling agency is booking me for flying and staying in Korea for next week. Hasn't
next
happened
week.
Yet.
So Jesus.
It's Friday, so Friday. We're recording this on Friday, of course.
It's the Korean government, so they can afford to pay
whatever it is. They are flying me presumably on Tuesday, and they haven't even made the booking yet. So
the crazy thing is God bless Clements that originally he was trying to ask if I could go.
I wanted Anthony and or Nick to go because they haven't gone to Korea yet, and I thought it would be a great opportunity for them. And it's also G-Star is why we're going because it's like the Korean E3. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be covering G-Star, and it's like a very PC/MMO oriented show
because that's what they play in Korea.
Yeah, I mean it makes the absolute most sense for someone from the PC team to go.
Now you play StarCraft. That's all that matters. In
yeah,
Korea.
That's really all that matters. I can show off my StarCraft cred. But mm-hmm. I wanted someone else to go that hasn't gone before, and I don't think Anthony's ever traveled through Asia before at all.
You went to this thing like 2 years ago?
2 years ago with Charles,
right?
Yes.
But you didn't go last year.
Didn't go last.
But now you're going again.
Now we're going. Maybe
the Korean government decided they couldn't have that. They tried without him after mm-hmm. knowing the Clements
doesn't
juicy
work
drinks, and it did not work. Yeah, now they need more of that juice. They need to just pour it all over.
Do you remember how when Charles and I were walking through the show floor, we got interviewed by a Korean news station because mm-hmm. they saw like just two white guys walking through this sea of Asian people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why are you here?
And then you guys went to a bar and paid a girl to talk to you.
Well, that was an accident.
Unbeknownst
to you. That was an accident, yeah. Those were good times.
I do that all the time.
So, biggest deal of the week, probably the Grand Theft Auto 5.
GTA 5.
Trailer that was released.
Actually, I haven't watched it yet.
Yep. Oh, you haven't watched it yet?
Get out of this room right now.
Dude, I've been so burnt down on Grand Theft Auto. Four was great.
What are you
talking about? It was, but like every Rockstar game, I played it for like 12 hours and then was like, and I'll never finish this.
So that was my experience with it, too. Yeah, I never finished it. I just sort of lost interest. Sort of had the same annoying parts of it that a lot of Grand Theft Autos have, like... You know, oh, this guy's getting away in a car. Chase him down. Oh, he got away. You can go back to the start and try that mission again. Or that gets old for me pretty fast.
It couldn't make up its mind whether it was serious or not.
Yeah, that's true. They go back and forth for a lot of things.
Now, Greg, you're a big Grand Theft Auto fan.
And you watched the trailer
several times. I did a live stream for it,
and I watched it a million times, and I watched it and rewound it, theatered it, and then I called Ray Liotta's people.
Mm-hmm. Let's make no mistake, even someone like me who only plays it for like 12 hours has a blast when I play it for those 12 hours. Because I'm just going nuts in a city where I can do whatever I want. Yeah. That's awesome.
I really liked the multiplayer in GTA 4. I think that's an underappreciated multiplayer mode of this generation.
I loved going on, like, rolling with my friends, three of us in a car, and being, like, a hit squad.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Or, like, flying in helicopters, and one person is a gunman.
I remember we used to play, and we'd always have someone new play with us, and we'd go, have you ever flown a helicopter? No, you're flying the helicopter. Yeah, it was so batshit crazy.
Yeah, you always crash.
One of my best moments is, like, there was one, sorry.
No, you go.
There was one of those, like, 5v5s where you're, like, trying to, like, there's one person that has to be protected. Uh-huh. So I was trying to protect my teammate, and he was on the back of, like, a dirt bike with me. We're hauling ass, and I realize we're about to get caught, so I just ram us into a cement curb, and we go flying out into the ocean together, because I'm like, now they have to chase us out in the ocean, so I just intentionally wrecked us. That's my story. Come on.
No, I was just going to say that one of my favorite things to do would be to raise your whatever it is, like, the police don't Stars. Like you ranking as high as possible.
The police don't like you ranking.
The police most don't like list.
And we would raise it as high as possible, and then my friend and I would go, like, inside this little... I mean, it wasn't... I don't think you could really get into a lot of buildings, but there was this... I remember this one building where it had a stairwell down into, like, an open area, so it was a very little funnel, and we would just hole up in there, like, stock up on fucking weapons. Oh, shoot. This is explicit.
Okay.
Yeah, all right,
that's cool.
Fuck, man.
Throw it out there.
All right, we'd stock up on weapons, and then we would just hole up in there and try and see how long we could survive against just constant police onslaught, and it was glorious.
Ryan Clements, cop killer.
Digital cop killer. I love cops in real life.
But now, I wasn't particularly blown away by the trailer.
Yeah.
So, and here, a couple reasons why. San Andreas is my least favorite Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, wow. I know you're an outlier in that regard, at
think
least.
Think so? I don't know. Yeah. The criticisms I hear of it, I totally agree with, that it was almost too big and bloated. You know, there's a lot of, like... you know, traversing wide areas of environment to get to missions.
They had good ideas and didn't flesh out, like the whole eating to get
fat. It was a little bit too much for me.
I never did any of that. I was like, well, I want to play the mission. I don't want to sit here and eat burgers for 20 minutes.
I think what people liked about it was also the silliest. It had jetpacks and all kinds of stuff like that.
See, that part of it I like. And
that's why you like Saints Row so much.
As a side note, I got my final, like, my retail copies of Saints Row in the office today. I beat the game weeks ago, but now I've got the final version.
Are you allowed to say when you are allowed to review it?
Well, so the game's out on the 15th. That'll be the latest the review goes up.
Okay.
If it comes, to be determined whether or not we'll put it up earlier than that.
Got it.
So the number one reason why I wasn't that thrilled, it's returning to my least favorite GTA setting. The other reason is what the only hint of the story we got is, I'm going to try to avoid a life of crime, but I'm being sucked in. Like, where have we heard that before? So it's just like...
But it'll be cool if that is Tommy talking, or if it is... I like the idea of the return of somebody, whether it be Claude from 3, whether it be Tommy from Vice City, we saw somebody and they were like, is that CJ? It could be... Well, I like the idea of catching up with these characters again. And here we go. You're laughing because there's one black guy in the trailer.
It's a black guy. It must be CJ.
I didn't say must, but he does have the tats and he is wearing the outfit CJ wears. Like, that's CJ's traditional outfit.
It is returning to the location of his games.
Yeah.
There is that.
So, and they sound like they're keeping it just to Los Santos. Like, that they put out a press release the next day confirming that, San Andreas area again. However, Los Santos is what we should. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do, San Francisco, if they're going to do Vegas, whatever. But I think they'll stay away from it and just center in one, L.A. city, which sounds cool. If that was your problem, right? It was going everywhere. So if they brought it in and made it just one giant, like, metropolitan city, right? You would be less inclined.
I think it worked well for GTA 4 to do it that way.
Yeah.
One city.
All right.
So were you excited by the trailer?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I am a Grand Theft Auto person. It looked really good. I like the idea, like I said, of somebody coming back and doing it again. I'm always a fan of that world and that kind of game. And I do hope from what we saw and what they've learned, right, that they do trend back to the more serious vibe, right? Like there,
you want that?
The parts that I loved about 4 were Nico's character development and the choice at the end, and like, you know, your relationship with Rome. And it wasn't so much, you know, like in 3 picking up a prostitute and having sex with her and killing her, or the dumb mini games like go play darts, or the stupid ass relationships like, oh no,
yeah, I didn't answer Packy's
phone call and now he hates me. Like, you know, granted that's how Damon is in real life, but that was a good one. Come on, that's a good chapter.
It's okay.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, so I'm excited for that, and it's more GTA, and it looks really pretty, and, you know.
Maybe it just comes down to you being more of a GTA fan than I am.
Probably, yeah. So those are the kind of games I like to sit down and, yeah, just get into. I mean, we're excited over a minute of maybe that was gameplay, maybe it's pre-rendered, we don't know. Mm. But
it did look good.
Yeah, I hope they take it more in the Red Dead sense of it, you know, I mean, in a serious story and something going on, and they don't go to Mexico.
Red Dead, yeah. Red Dead.
We're back in Mexico.
That was a good game. We have a question from a listener here, Corey Evans. He wonders, do you think in the next Grand Theft Auto, the protagonist will be a Native American? Since they use the same V in a Native American $5 bill, or is this just a coincidence? You know, I've never heard of a Native American $5 bill.
The same V, I mean,
it's from the 1899.
Exactly, yeah, we were talking about this. There's been a lot of, me and Colin argue all the time about the imagery in the Grand Theft Auto thing, because it has the V, and then it has a little banner underneath that says 5, and he's like, that's redundant. And I'm like, it's just like money. That's how money looks. You got the picture of Thomas Jefferson, and then it says Jefferson underneath.
I don't think it's anything more than the fact that it has to do with money, and it's the fifth game, though.
But what he's referencing is the V is very reminiscent to this 1800s $5 bill.
Is it a specific font?
It's a $5 bill from the 1899 bill. Yeah, sure. And it has a Native American on the head side with that exact V and the banner that says 5 underneath.
I doubt you'll be playing as a Native American from
1899. Yeah. but that was it. Okay. Actually, there is no but to that statement.
My favorite news of today is that this kid, well, maybe it's not a kid, who knows. Someone paid $1,800 for an early copy of Modern Warfare 3.
Good investment.
On eBay.
Just couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to get it on next Tuesday.
A game that will be out in less than a week, yeah. And that they can't play online, or their account will be banned. So basically, they could play the single-player campaign, which will last about how long, Anthony?
Oh, I don't know.
A few hours, probably. I mean, that's how every other...
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
How long was Battlefield?
Not very long.
Right,
you know? Yeah, not very long.
The thing is that I feel like this is a good idea, only the game company should start doing it for charity instead. $1,800 does not matter to a good game company.
Sure.
But I'm saying, like, you know, if Uncharted, they were like, play Uncharted a week early, we put up 10 copies on eBay, all proceeds go to blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, I imagine if they made it official started getting the word out about it, they could raise a lot more money than $1,800.
Exactly, and it's good advertising.
Damon, we should start doing that with GameCube.
Put it out early.
Put up one on Thursday that you have to pay for, and if not, you get it free on Friday. We should also microtransaction. Yep. You get the intro and you get the outro, or and you get to hear what we're about to talk about, and you get to pay for what segment.
I actually think it should just be that we cut out one person's audio file. Like, if you want Greg's audio file, that's about
everyone else. You want Greg's audio track?
There's just horrible silences. Otherwise,
I think our news guy Andrew Goldfarb also was checking the eBay listing where the early copy was sold, and apparently it's being sent priority mail. So if it's sent today, like, it's not even going to arrive till what, Monday? Tuesday, like when the game comes out.
That was a bad investment.
It's amazing. I love it.
I haven't read the story yet. So the guy on eBay is just some dude who got it early.
Apparently, some retailer sold a few copies early.
There's a Kmart that.
Kmart.
You know, there's all these Kmart.
There's also a retailer.
Blue Light Special.
Aren't they big K's now?
Yeah. There's also a retailer in Los Angeles that, like, everyone knows break Street Date.
Oh, that's the one Scott likes to go to.
But they usually only break it like by a couple of days, right?
Yeah. But they always break Street Day. Always. Yeah.
Once Bozon went there and bought all, I guess it was that last Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
He went and bought a grocery bag full of them crying about San Francisco.
That's awesome. I totally forgot about that. Good old Bozon, eh, guys?
Yeah, rest in peace.
He's not dead.
Taken before his time.
I just think that's hilarious. A new Alan Wake.
Alan Wake 2!
Not really Alan Wake 2.
No.
A downloadable something or other called Alan Wake's Night Springs is
what
coming to Xbox Live Arcade. We first got confirmation of this.
Night Springs.
It was announced it's going to be a trailer for it at the VGAs.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley tweeted that. It'll be there along with Metal Gear Rising information and a BioWare game reveal.
Another game. Well, we haven't seen Metal Gear Solid Rising in a long time.
Very long time, yeah. I bet we cut up a watermelon in the trailer.
Yeah, they showed that so early.
I know.
Just lame.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Alan Wake. I really liked Alan Wake. That was
I did too. And the Night Spring stuff is all the TV shows that you would stop and watch that were like Twilight Zone things. So maybe it'll be a series of episodic, really short, bizarre stories.
Yeah, I don't. There's a screenshot of the title screen that was posted by website XBLA fans, and I don't know. In the menu system, there's like start new story and then arcade action.
How did they get that screenshot?
Yeah, I don't know.
They made
it out of Game Informer.
Alan, wake up.
Pretty good. Well, I'm definitely interested in checking out more Alan Wake.
Me too,
because I like that game a lot. But I guess we'll have to wait to see until December 10th is when the VGAs air.
Okay. You want to come over and watch it?
I don't really want to watch them.
Okay. No. You just want to wait for the trailers?
Yes.
Okay, exactly. We'll do that. You want to come over and wait for trailers at my house?
Yeah, maybe. I remember last year we were at a bar in the Sunset, and you left the bar to go work on the VGA stuff. I think you went
over. That was 2 years ago. Last year I was at the VGAs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Wow.
I presented. It was me and the cast of Always Sunny in Philadelphia presenting the award for best rock duo ever to come to a game.
That's what happened.
Where does the time go?
I don't think I would ever attend that.
It was fun.
Sounds terrible.
I sat next to Max from Destructoid, and they brought us Twinkies and Ho-Hos that were cut in half and like made to look fancy, but they were still just Twinkies and Ho-Hos. Right?
I hate when I go to game events and they treat us like we're giant infants that we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, well, we could bring out the crab cakes. No. Don't bring out the crab cakes. Just bring out the Twinkies.
But then they end up like when you go to an event and it's actually like formally catered, then they're like, would you like a croix de monsieur? I don't even know what that means. And then I'm like, I don't know.
A croix de monsieur.
I don't know.
I think you're thinking of like an,
monsieur.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's like
those
an open face sandwich.
No, I just like came up with
croque madame.
I just tried to name something that was French sounding. Yeah. Okay. I think it worked. I mean,
no, you're pretty close. You're pretty close.
I sort of knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
But
love you too.
Anybody watch Mad Men?
Yeah, well, so I've seen the first two seasons.
All right, he reminds me of Cooper. He looks like he's like the young version of him. He's the prequel. At some point,
at some point,
Clements is going to get thrown back in time,
back in time, and then
he'll just start Sterling Cooper.
To be okay.
Oh, that's right. Am I confusing him? I can, you know, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
The white haired guy.
Yeah. Is he Cooper or is he Sterling?
I don't know. I don't know.
Roger Sterling. That's him.
We should probably move on before we sound any dumber.
No, it's Roger Sterling. We're fixed. Bert Cooper is the old man. He doesn't wear shoes in his office, Anthony.
Yeah. Who's that guy?
Hey, Anthony.
You ever watched Mad Men, Anthony? Mad Men, I mean?
Hey, Anthony.
No.
Hey, Anthony.
There's only one reason to watch that show.
Christina Hendricks, of course.
How about two big reasons?
Yeah. I like Christina Hendricks. She's pretty, but yeah.
Christina Hendricks is gorgeous.
She's a horrible asshole in that show.
Don't spoil it. I'm only in the middle of season two. She seems pretty nice then.
You can see from the previews that she's a horrible asshole.
I must have started season three already. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yes.
I like Jericho too.
Speaking of Jericho, you mentioned Jericho in a video we shot yesterday for a possible new Dead Island game.
Let's clarify that you're talking about Jericho the TV show, not Jericho the awful video game.
Is that a Clive Barker? Yeah. Clive Barker's Jericho,
Clive
right?
Jericho.
Dead World. That name was recently trademarked by Techland, developer of Dead Island.
Correct.
Why would they be trademarking? Because
they're doing another one. It was so popular. They got to make a sequel. They got to make it fast to be out next fall.
Next fall, it'll be out in like 8 months. It'll be out like next summer. Wow. That's what Techland does. They just—it's
just a reset.
They crank them out really fast.
Mm.
I mean,
except that Dead Island was like 4 years in the making.
Yeah, I'm just saying that they do crank out games really fast. Though, like you know, they've had in the last few years, they've had Call of Juarez. They've had two Call of Juarez and nailed. And so, I think and Dead Island. I mean, for a tiny studio, they put out a lot of games.
They're technically tiny.
I think they're technically tiny.
Techland, technically tiny.
That's their catchphrase,
right? Yeah, that's actually what it says.
We're technically tiny at Techland.
So great. We were talking about yesterday. Well, if this is real, if this is a sequel to Dead Island, we thought we were talking about maybe what you would want.
Yeah, I want a bigger map. Mm-hmm. I want my choices to matter. The Jericho reference was I'd want to choose a side, kind of fight along some people, make have a different ending based on what I do rather than just be fetch quest leading up to the end.
What if it's an MMO?
If it works really well, that'd be cool. I've always wanted a zombie MMO. I'd love that ability to team up with people and fortify a location and have other people come in. You got to try to... Do we want to let this guy in? No, I'll vouch for him. Then he comes in, he ruins everything.
That's it. That's the most interesting thing about a zombie MMO would be like the competition between humans, the survivors.
Limited resources. Every day there's only so much food out there.
Yeah, if you're trying to like steal food from other camps, I believe President
Obama literally recognized the importance of zombies the other day to the U.S. government.
What do you do?
He like talked about how zombie stuff has been responsible for more than $5 billion in revenue in like the last decade and how important it's been.
Oh, just in entertainment, you mean?
Yeah, and in video games and in comics. It's just like had this huge resurgence. So.
Thank you, George.
Why did he talk about this?
I don't know, because he's talking about things that have been important to the economy.
Zombie, and he mentioned zombies.
I want to thank zombies.
That's a great Obama impression. Thank you. I like it.
Thank you.
Two of my favorite games this generation were Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2.
And Zombieland.
Mine as well.
No, that wasn't a game.
No, it's a movie.
You played a lot of the Rainbow Six when they were out. You, Mary Jane, David Adams, you were on there all the time.
Yeah.
Terrace Hunt.
I just loved those.
Love Terrace Hunt.
So a new Rainbow Six game was announced this week. Rainbow Six. It's unfortunately not another Vegas, though. Rainbow Six Patriots. Patriots, plural, is what it's called.
Okay.
Although Ubisoft says it will contain an innovative co-op. That's really what I liked about it. Well, come on. All I'm saying is that I know that that's like a meaningless bullet point in a press release, but that's what I liked about the Vegas
games.
That's
what you played it for.
Yeah,
you
the co-op. Yeah.
Of course.
That was like my, yeah.
I played co-op through the whole campaign, played co-op through all the missions over and over again, the Terrace Hunt one, so yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they can still include Terrace Hunt in the...
They need to. In whatever game they have, it needs to be Terrace Hunt.
Yeah. Oh, and that was also a game where you could... What am I hearing?
There's people talking. I think I'm in the room.
It's a game where you could scan your face with the Xbox camera.
It was really hard, but yes.
It was awesome. You got some great results. That was so fun.
Yeah.
Who tried to put their balls on their guy's face?
Not Jesus. Me. Jesus.
Oh, you monster. Get out of here, pervert.
We did it to Arthur, and I remember his face. We had to light it up so high to get it that his face permanently looked like an explosion of light was coming out. So everyone we used to call him Flashbang because his head was just this glowing ball of light.
GameScoop listener Michael Schotter has made an iOS game called Power Grids.
Okay.
And he has some codes he wants to share here.
What a nice guy.
I know, with the GameScoop listeners here. So,
the faithful.
Yeah, the faithful, as you might say. I'm going to read a code here. This is for a GameScoop listener-created iOS game called Power Grids. The code is as follows. K-L-P-P-H...
Like a wiener.
H-W-A-N-K-M-M-W. I'll read one more here. The second code is as follows. YY4HHKMMM7EH. To the recipients of Power Grid, make sure you send good vibes to GameScoop listener Michael Schotter.
Review him on iTunes.
Yeah,
that's like the most important thing you can do.
Come on, be a pal.
It's true.
He likes GameScoop. You like GameScoop.
Yeah.
If you made a game, he'd support you.
Who doesn't like GameScoop?
Speaking of the listeners, let's check in with them.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Chris Fitzgerald did from Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, buddy. This is why I'm here.
Clarence, you're also from... Are you actually from Buffalo?
Well, not from the city of Buffalo, but a surrounding suburb.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's writing in about a majestic culinary wonder called Mighty Taco, a local taco joint in Buffalo.
Yes.
He says, as a burrito enthusiast, I feel I can safely say that the tender, meaty, voluptuous burritos served at Mighty Taco are the best in the business.
Wow.
And I've had my fair share of burritos. What does Clements think of Mighty Taco? How do they compare to the fast food places on the West Coast?
Is this really why Clements was invited? That's awesome.
This is it. I would like to...
This is my time.
Is this place run by Mexicans?
I haven't been there in a long time, so I could not tell
it
you.
I don't
know if the corporate headquarters has
I just mean that in New York. So,
is it a fast food joint? It sounds like
it's
a fast food. So it's a chain.
It's a chain.
I just don't attribute New York and Mexico.
It's a local chain. Yeah. Now here's how I would like to think about this. For us who are you know lucky to be in an area that has a lot of like actual like
authentic
Mexican cuisine
for a reason,
you know. Authentic Mexican cuisine, Mighty Taco would probably not impress. But as a, you know, if you're from the fucking East Coast in Buffalo, New York, I mean, they definitely have, like, I would say that they're, you know, definitely in their own realm, and it's compared to, like, the Taco Bells of the world and stuff like that.
All right.
Like, it is a definite step above. Now, I will say that I'm actually not a big Mighty Taco enthusiast, though. What I have a guilty pleasure for is Jim's Stakeout, which some of my East Coast listeners will probably know.
That's steak, S-T-E-A-K?
Yeah, like steak out, like you get a steak sandwich to go.
Okay.
But they basically have, I think it's like a like a buffalo chicken finger blue sub.
While staring at people through their window?
No, I don't do that.
I'm going to invent this thing. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the theme of the restaurant. They kind of bring food out to you.
Oh, the steak out.
Thank you for joining us.
While you sit there.
Oh, no, I'm talking about what he's talking about. Do you sit in your car? And I'm like, fuck off, Damon.
Jeez. Yeah, I thought it would be a good wordplay. You sit there, like they have pretty girls or guys undressing for you, like about 100 feet away, and you just sit there and eat steak while watching.
You have like all the stuffs over the dashboard.
Exactly.
That place is so good.
Do you know also something that has come to my attention recently?
What's that?
You know what they have in Seattle? Topless coffee bars.
Yeah.
No, they do not.
They do. Like drive through.
Well, like the baristas are topless?
Yes.
That seems dangerous. They work with hot liquids.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's right. That does actually seem dangerous.
Right? We don't have that here in San Francisco. I want that. Well,
we put it on our list of things we want to open. You and I want to open a Dunkin' Donuts and an In-N-Out.
Or the ramen place.
Or the ramen bomb.
My brother was telling me about it. He lived in Eugene, Oregon for a while, and they did a topless car wash, and I think they closed it down, though, because it resulted in a bunch of car accidents. So
that's awesome. I'm still, I don't know, I probably wouldn't go to a topless coffee bar.
No. I would. What if I want cream with everything?
I don't know that they're entirely legal, so you have to kind of, I think there's like,
it's like a speakeasy.
Drive-through coffee places where if you're like a regular customer and they know you, they'll like flash you when you drive through or something like that. But
this is just not increasingly more shady.
Yeah,
if you come get three coffees of the day, they'll blow you.
there's no mystery there, man. There's no.
I think it's like, pretty awesome, and I was researching this.
No, all right, fine.
I was researching topless coffee bars because I wanted to see if there was one here. There was one in San Jose that was recently shut down. But it was like a Vietnamese coffee place, and all the girls were Vietnamese.
Okay. I like you researching this. I just picture it at home on like a drawing table, and you've got like a map you're putting pins in.
You've got the strings.
Pieces of string are pulling out the post-it notes and other pins.
But, yeah. Damon, all I want to say is that I would much rather be served by a beautiful waitress that is fully clothed than a topless barista.
What is she showing, like, a little bit?
A little bit of a nipple. A hint? No, not a little bit of a nipple. Jeez. God. But, you know, I think that the allure is part of the fun.
What is a bottomless coffee bar?
Part of the allure. Overlaying the waitress at a nice restaurant, part of the allure of eating out. Imagine what she looks like naked.
Sir,
I just want to give you your steak sandwich.
I don't imagine that.
Though. I know this isn't
you can get any girl you want. You disgust me sometimes with your piggishness.
What are you talking about?
Anthony has something to say.
I know this isn't knocking boots, but... What about, you know, we're talking about the allure and how hot it is. What about when you're, like, with a girl and, you know, potentially, like, keeping her top on? Keeping it on intentionally?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like leaving, like, certain articles of clothing on.
Like
just shoes and socks? Yeah, that's cool. Let's do that.
Okay. I'm down
with that.
Anyways.
Though, I would just like to say,
like,
maybe...
It's happening.
Sure, yeah.
Just shoes and socks? All right. You tuck your hair behind your ears and you got your business.
Put your aviators on.
I turn my baseball cap backwards.
I would like to say, I think there's a little bit of a double standard here, though, because I think girls can actually look good in certain articles of clothing and just certain articles of clothing. Like, say they keep their shirt on or they keep their pants on or, like, they keep, like, you know, as you said, like, hot, like high socks on or something. Or a hat. Yes. But... Like a guy that's like just wearing his shirt. No, that doesn't look cool at all.
He just looks
that
dumb.
Looks like he's embarrassed. Yes.
In
about
particular,
his stomach.
I can't just leave my socks on. That makes me feel so ridiculous and foolish.
Absolutely,
I can't just be wearing my socks.
I don't know, but if a girl just had her socks on, I think that'd be really cute.
Next time I bring a girl over and I've convinced her to be naked around me for the first time, I'm just going to put on fingerless gloves. Like, you don't know what you got into.
Let's do this. Cool.
Yo, I'm really feeling the spot, man.
That's a good question.
We were talking about tacos.
That's where it started. I don't even remember how we got here.
Can we go to Guapo's for lunch? Will anyone go to Guapo's?
I will totally go to Guapo's and get a burrito with you.
Okay. Clint, I don't think you answered the other part of his question. Do you like the fast food places here on the West Coast? Is there a favorite you have?
No, I mean, like, I think we're actually really lucky in San Francisco. We have some really, I would say, really good food for cheap that is not fast food, but you might as well call it that because it's fast and inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. I think most people that come out to the West Coast, though, I've always heard their fast food a place of choice unanimously be like Jack in the Box. Because it has everything.
Jack in the Box is... Okay. So well, I was actually not very familiar with Jack in the Box until recently when on a drunken night with our own Sean Norton, our buddy in arms in the PR industry, we ended up going to a bar and then directly just walked across the street to Jack in the Box. I just destroyed like everything that I ordered. It was like he just had his mouth open. Like he was amazed that like
were you taking the food out of his mouth?
That's gross image. That stuff, that oh my goodness, just tasty. And I know that In-N-Out is very popular in this on this coast.
It always boggles my mind when I go back to Chicago now, or when I go back to the suburbs. Or, you know what I mean? How many fast food places there are, and not only how many fast food places there are, even in Missouri or whatever. How many people eat? How people just eating there? Like my friends are like, oh, we're going over. I'm like, really? God,
geez. Or if they eat out at a restaurant, it's like Applebee's and stuff. It's always chain places.
Yes, yeah, Chili's, Ruby Tuesdays. Yeah.
I do love me some Fridays sometimes. Whatever. How can you not love the Fridays? Is awesome. I don't care.
Fridays is not
say.
Awesome.
Fridays is. Tell me why Fridays is an awesome day.
Because
you could go to Safeway and buy microwavable food and cook it yourself.
Yeah. Except it doesn't taste as good.
I mean, I don't think Fridays is like terrible, but it. Well, it's pretty terrible, actually.
All right. Damon.
Someone's listening right now in the Friday's kitchen just weeping, openly weeping. Put their hands in the fryer now.
There are a lot of hard-working people at Friday's.
I'd rather go to a Friday's than an Applebee's.
Okay.
How about that? And Chili's is above all, then,
and how about this? I love Olive Garden. Man, I love Olive Garden.
I do too, and it's total trash. I know, it's good trash.
As from an Italian family where my Italian grandmother like cooks pasta. Mm-hmm.
No,
I'm not a huge fan of Olive Garden.
So when I go to Olive Garden, I love that we're talking about this, by the way.
I know. This has been an interesting first question of game scoop.
Soup, salad, and breadsticks. That's all I get.
Exactly. You can eat. It's like $6.
I don't hate it. That's all you need to do. I will enjoy eating there from time to time, but obviously nothing beats the home cooked stuff.
Obviously, yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
All right, I think we've...
done a lot of good today. Done a lot of good.
Let's go get some burritos.
Our next email comes from...
Oh, okay. We're still doing this?
Kamal Atayev from Birmingham in the UK.
Cool name.
I have a question regarding the size of your TVs and the distance away you sit. How big are your TVs and how far away from them do you sit to get an enjoyable gaming experience? I am a PC gamer. Sometimes I really love connecting my laptop to my 40-inch TV and using a 360 controller.
Doing it wrong.
However, sometimes it just feels that is too far away and the best experience comes when my eyes are around 4 feet away. What are your experiences on this?
I use a 48-inch TV at home, and then, I don't know, sit a few feet on my couch.
A few feet?
I don't know. I mean, how many feet? I couldn't lay down. I would guess it's six.
I was going to guess, like, 8 to 9 feet away from your TV.
No, that's way too far.
Tonight, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to have Mike Mitchell move the coffee table, because I'll be damned if I'm going to do manual labor. Mm-hmm. And I will lay foot to head, and we'll see how close I am to it. Maybe Got 6 feet, we'll say.
I sit about a little bit less than 6 feet from a 37-inch screen TV.
And so. The worst, I think, now is coming back to the... Not the worst. That sounds really horrible.
The worst.
Is coming now and trying to play games at the office with the TV. Because our TVs are only getting bigger at the office. I'm using a 3D television. It's probably 50 inches. And I'm so close to it. Like, when I do 3D, I have to put it on and then, like, roll back to Naomi's desk to play. Otherwise, it makes me carsick.
So... Thank you. Okay. Well, so what do you think about his PC gaming on the TV?
You don't hook up a PC to a TV because the TV cannot do the same resolution as a PC and it'll look worse.
I'm fine with it. He can do whatever he wants.
You're a man. You're a Birmingham man. Man.
Though I do find that I instinctively, if I'm on a couch that's let's say a traditional distance between a TV and couch, like what you imagine, like, you know, classic American home, TV, couch. All right, you have that in your head, right? That's too far for me. So I actually set up a beanbag chair in front of the couch so that I feel like I'm getting that slightly leaned-in sensation, but I am still reclined.
I get that. Sometimes I like to do that, too. It reminds me, like when it's like kids watch TV really close, right?
Yeah.
So it makes me feel young again to be in a beanbag chair or something like upright, close, white, ruining my eyes too close to the TV.
It wipes away the last 45 years of your life.
I don't really think you can hurt your eyes as long as you're taking breaks from, like,
every 15 minutes.
Well, I blink, like, every couple minutes or something.
Yeah, just every couple minutes.
Or wear a brown cup and lick your eyes. eyes to keep them warm.
Imagine how much that hurt. A cat's tongue on your eyeball.
Or you can wear Modern Warfare 3 branded Gunner Optics sunglasses.
Gunner Optics. Welcome to Gunner Optics.
This is Andres Gull Russo.
Wow.
We have some cool names today, yeah.
It's an international episode.
He says, I'm a 20-year-old guy living in Denmark.
Nice.
I've recently been toying with the idea of attending an American college. My question is, do you think this is a good idea?
Yes.
I'm reasonably proficient in English, so language shouldn't be an issue. But I'm wondering if a guy from some small European country would be received well in an American college.
I think he would be.
Dude, I think
depends.
He could clean up.
But I would say, does Denmark pay for your college? Is that like one of the countries where you don't pay for yourself? Because if so, stay there.
That's true.
Because you'll end up with like $40,000 in debt.
It will be very expensive.
It's so expensive to do school here.
Yeah. Not to mention they charge extra when you're international. So
out of state?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have the means, I recommend it. Yeah, I think you'd be very well received by the female population.
And also do the traveling when you're young.
And it's not just by the female population.
All right, I'm saying the males as well.
Yeah, that's all great. But I'm saying that it's the experience of studying abroad.
Rolls off the tongue.
All right, well.
This is Big Tony style.
That's another good name.
We've had him before. We know his
name. I know.
How often do you play a new game when you haven't beaten another game's campaign? I can never move on to a new game without beating whatever game is sitting in my system.
Part of the job here. It's part of the job here. You have to move on. You're always moving. You're always doing something. Well, especially for game of the year right now, you're trying so many things, trying to be versed in what's happening.
Yeah, I play a game until I'm bored with it, and then I move on.
I'm playing Uncharted.
I'm trying to decide whether to keep playing Rage or not. I'm like 5 hours into it and can't decide how much I like it.
Then maybe you should stop.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. Especially now I've got Uncharted 3. I want to play Uncharted 3 tonight. Definitely not playing Rage tonight. Sorry, Rage.
If every game we reviewed, we got to stop when we just didn't want to play it, I think a lot of games have not been finished. Not necessarily bad games, but I think like a lot of us end up playing like okay games. We would never waste our time with an okay game because there's so many good games.
Yeah,
but it's part of the job.
This is KC. Maybe we answered one of her questions.
Knocking
boots last night.
Is this spelled KYCEE?
No, it's KC. The initials.
The letters, as in
KC.
Okay. Oh, fellas and ladies. Oh, I was recently at Kmart. Kmart again.
A goddamn Kmart and their product placement in this podcast.
Picking up a copy of Arkham City.
Ah. Cha-ching.
Buying video games at Kmart.
Cha-ching.
When I saw a Plants vs. Zombies lottery ticket in the lottery machine.
Oh,
here it is.
That's weird.
I know, right? I've never seen that before.
Look at that.
Anthony won't take it from me.
Oh.
Thank you.
What state? Where is she from?
Naturally, I had to buy it.
Oh, Virginia. Okay.
Now that I have it, I actually don't want to scratch it off because it looks so awesome.
Oh, just scratch it.
What do you think, guys? Should I scratch it off and see if I've won anything, or should I preserve it in all its undead glory?
Who cannot scratch a scratcher?
Well, I'm saying, why didn't you buy two? And then you could scratch one and keep one.
You have the same dilemma. You're essentially like throwing this garbage away. Make a photocopy of it if you're that important.
Exactly. It is a scratcher that you could potentially win more money with.
Yeah, here's the deal. Now that we've told you to scratch it, you have to split whatever you win with us.
Yeah, that's
guarantee it's a winner. And I guarantee you have to do it, Clements. Don't try to give her an out.
Actually, this picture she sends in, I'm almost positive we can go to the Virginia Lotto site and enter in this number, and it'll tell us if we won.
I don't think that's how that works. But nice try.
Craig, remember last week we had a heartbreaking story from a listener who experienced very sweaty palms.
Oh, how could I forget the palm sweat?
When he was playing a game.
Yeah.
Listener Brock Atty writes in with his own personal story regarding this. He says, I was listening to last week's episode. You guys read an email that hit me on an emotional level.
Anthony.
Come on, dude.
I'm just picturing him being like, my hands sweat too.
No. I'm a perfectly healthy, physically active 27-year-old who has dealt with excessive sweating for my entire life. It's actually a physical condition known as hyperhidrosis and caused by an overactive sympathetic nervous system. My condition is a combination of palmar and plantar hyperhidrosis, meaning my hands and feet excessively sweat for most of my waking hours. As Anthony said on The Last Scoop, they are literally like faucets at times. It has made getting close to people rather difficult and is probably why I am a shy, introverted adult. It's difficult to grow up when people don't want you to touch them because your hands are disgusting to touch. As a kid, I actually used to hold my controllers through a t-shirt to play, so I feel for the guy who uses a cloth to dry his hands. When I was 23, I finally found a homemade treatment that worked at reducing my sweat levels down to that of a normal person's.
Oh, nice.
But it involves a process called iontophoresis, where I have to electrocute my hands at low voltage for half an hour, 3 days a week. Yes, it is rather painful and sounds crazy, but it works and has helped me live like a normal person with dry hands.
Man, I feel like this guy's right? about to turn into Cole from Infamous one day. The horrible experiment goes where the voltage gets turned up.
I was thinking like Men in Black when you burn off your fingerprints.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
So he says, I just wanted to inform you guys of an ailment that affects roughly 3% of the world's population, but many people remain unaware of.
I'm wondering if maybe they can, and I'm not saying this facetiously, like, you know those things they have in like pool halls, right? Where they have
the chopping.
Could you do that every once in a while you're playing? You know, occasionally chalk up.
Yeah.
Then you get chalk all over your controller.
Sure, but it's a small price to pay. Exactly, but you'd have control over it.
Like LeBron James does that before he plays basketball.
Exactly.
And in the gymnastics, they do it too.
Exactly.
I think you could just wear gloves all the time. Be that guy. That'd be cool. Fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Again. Brock says, if any listeners want to contact me for my method, they can message me on PSN at OvertechBrock. That's one word, all one word, OvertechBrock.
Or you can try Googling Damon's version of that word.
Yeah. That word again was iontophoresis.
Iontophoresis. Interesting.
God, I want to see the machine he uses.
Yeah, me too, right?
It's like a car battery and two rods.
Yeah, just picture him being like...
This is still morning Sega. Morning as in sad, being sad about Sega.
Oh, no, that's not as good.
He says, so the day finally came. My Xbox 360 is gone.
I don't believe it.
It wasn't a launch system. I bought it when Halo 3 came out. Mostly I've bought consoles at launch, but I've always bought them because of software for the killer apps they came with. Bought Halo for Xbox, NFL 2K, and Soul Calibur for Dreamcast, Super Mario 64 for N64, Virtua Fighter for Saturn. You may notice no PlayStation titles are mentioned. It's because I've never owned a Sony system. In my younger days, I was a Sega fanboy loyalist, and I still resent Sony for breaking Sega. I don't consider them a game company at heart. And what game did they ever give us in those days? Toshinden? Give me a break. They won on marketing and financial muscle, not quality. But now it's 2011, and I need a new console. Is Uncharted 3 the game that breaks me down? Is it time for me to grow up / betray my principles and give my money to the enemy?
Wow, okay.
Or should I just replace my Xbox and salvage all my arcade titles and other games? Come on, dude.
We're riding there, and you're gotta grow the fuck up. I bet you're a grown-ass man.
You sound pretty silly. Considering Sony your enemy?
Quit being a giant baby. Oh, yeah, because Microsoft's a game company.
The heart of Microsoft is just beating out for its fans, giving everybody everything.
God,
I mean,
If you want to play an amazing game like Uncharted 3, get a PS3.
If you can only afford one, just look at the exclusives and decide which ones speak to you. If you are more excited for another Halo, is Halo 4 coming for 360?
Have
they announced Halo
4?
I think they've said if it's coming for 360.
Gotcha.
I would guess it's going to be on 360.
I mean,
one thing I didn't mention, that Rainbow Six Patriots game is set for a PS3. 360 and PC in 2013. That's what they're planning it. So in 2013, 2 years from now, Ubisoft thinks we'll still be playing the Xbox 360.
Well, I imagine the new systems will be coming out later that year, and this will be like in the twilight.
So it'll be one of those games. Remember that game when games were coming out for Xbox and Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Right. Terrible.
Those games are never very good. Yeah.
I will say that I'm usually pretty compassionate for people that have like a strong loyalty for a brand, but yeah, this guy sounds like he just needs to...
There's no reason to have a loyalty to this brand. These companies don't care about you. Yeah. Like, they're just out to make money, too. So
yeah,
they just want what's best for them. And if you want what's best for you...
If you like video games...
Yeah.
It's about the games, you know.
Like, I'm going to buy...
I guess that's not entirely true. Like, I really like using... As we've talked about this before, I like using the Xbox. I do like the Xbox, but I don't think of myself as liking Microsoft.
Exactly.
So...
Yeah,
I don't know. A company made a product that I like, but you know,
I've had five Xboxes and two PS3s, so you know, I've had less PS3s, so they're a little bit more reliable.
That's why you trust their heart.
Last weekend was, Monday was Halloween parties.
Oh, crap,
were over last weekend. I asked listeners to write in with if they had any cool Halloween costumes. Stephen Rhodes write in. Here's a pic of my girlfriend as a witch from Left 4 Dead. It's pretty good.
That's really good.
Holy shit.
She's on the ground. Yeah, she's on the ground.
Yeah, she posed crying in my house before we went out to a party, I guess.
The real question you have to ask, what's his name?
Stephen Rhodes.
The real question you have to ask yourself, Stephen, and this says a lot about you, is whether or not when she's down like that crying, it turns you on.
Jeez.
Doesn't turn me on.
I laughed, Anthony. Don't worry about these guys.
I didn't say the joke wasn't funny. Yeah.
You're going to like this one. Anthony Gutilla wrote in, he made this pumpkin.
Oh, an IGN pumpkin.
Yeah, he made an IGN pumpkin. It's pretty
good. I love it.
Yeah.
That looks great. Yeah, man. See, when I draw the IGN logo, I can never get the four parts equal.
You may know this guy, too. He says, thanks for the Thrashball Cole statue.
Okay.
Doesn't mean anything to me, but...
I think they gave it away unlocked, maybe?
Oh, weird. Is Thrashball Cole... I thought that was an infamous thing. Is that not
No. Thrashball Cole from Gears of War.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's probably unlocked. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, because you got off that sinking ship. You said, you know what?
No,
Stephen Hopper... Not. I'll never podcast with you in your glasses.
Greg, I need you to vamp. I've lost my email. I have photos here, but I've lost my email.
Anthony. This is just singing. This isn't even vamping.
I know. I was just giving you background music.
Anthony,
while
you bought me Minecraft last night.
All right.
I installed it today.
I was feeling that beat,
I haven't started
Greg.
Playing it yet.
I liked that beat. Okay, I found it.
I'm looking forward to that. Damon's got to film us.
Yeah, we got to do that, too. This is from Fred in Astoria, New York. He says, I've never been to Comic-Con or E3 or any other Nerd Fest.
Oh, man, you're so close.
Yeah, go to PAX East. They just opened registration.
I play the PS3, sticking mostly to platformers. However, when it comes to my favorite games and my favorite hero, Link and The Legend of Zelda take the title. Yes. I own a Wii for that reason. Anyway, Halloween, along with New Year's, are my favorite holidays, and I do them both big. This year, I decided to honor my hero Link with a Comic-Con quality costume.
Ooh.
That cost me quite a few rupees, and luckily I had the large wallet...
A lot of Zelda references here, everybody.
I went full on with the details, including a real chainmail tunic worn under my green tunic.
Wow, jeez.
Okay. Real potion bag, real master sword and shield.
A real potion bag, everybody.
He says,
shit. And a real potion.
Shit is real, son.
What does he look like now?
So my question is, how rad am I? And if I'm not rad, how rad is my girl who's dressed up as the Hulkster? It's pretty good. So this is his costume. His costume is really good. I think you'll like that. But, I mean, I think his girlfriend's Hulkster costume is probably better.
It's pretty good. You also put in really creepy-looking contact lenses.
Oh, yeah. Well, you think those are contact lenses?
Yeah.
I guess you get a better look there, man.
Yeah, those are contacts. But it's a pretty good Link costume.
Good Link costume.
Yeah, this Link costume's awesome.
It's good. Oh, God, yeah, they better be contacts. If you look like that, dude, you're in trouble.
Well, you're
sorry if you look like that. But, no, that's a good Link. That's a really good Link.
And, yeah, your girlfriend is definitely rad. That Hulkster costume.
I read an article today from Keza about how Skyward Sword might be the best Zelda of all time, and that got me very excited to play Skyward Sword.
Mm.
Not to look at Skyward Sword.
I haven't been excited about a Zelda game since the SNES one, so...
What the hell? Ocarina of Time was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I didn't play him on the 64.
Majora's Mask
You're
was awesome.
Goddamn crazy.
You're a goddamn crazy person.
Games, 64 games are really expensive, and I could only get so many a year.
What are you playing?
Shooters, mostly.
Yeah.
Perfect Dark.
Good game.
GoldenEye.
Okay, well, they came out. That's not the same year, so...
Turok. Like, I was playing all these shooters.
Cerebral War!
This is Tyson. Oops, he has help for Anthony.
Oh, good, finally. What? Somebody's going to help him.
Anthony's sleeping problem.
Mm.
We talked about how Anthony's... You have to sleep next to a wall,
mm-hmm.
right? Is there anything else?
Can't sorry. Be alone. He can't be alone. He's got to sleep next
why
to a wall.
You're not supposed to be eating.
I know. I couldn't resist a cracker. I'm sorry. No, I have to sleep next to a wall if I'm by myself in a room.
Mm.
Or if I'm not by myself, it's fine. I can sleep anywhere.
Okay.
But and I also, if it's dark, sometimes that gets to me.
Okay. So Tyler says, I admittedly had a similar sleeping problem a few years ago.
Mm.
I thought that night lights are for pussies, and I didn't want to share a room with my sisters. So one night I left the radio on. I slept like a baby with a concussion. Well, nowadays, I don't use the radio.
Oh, I slept like a baby who had been thrown through the windshield and left in a field.
I play other music or podcasts, including GameScoop, and my favorite is old movies. I'm glad we put you guys to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if I don't watch the screen and just listen to the movies or podcasts, the sound preoccupies my mind so that any anxiety that I have is suppressed, and I can get a good night's sleep.
Here, well, I do a similar thing, actually, except...
Are you going to play Star Wars audiobooks?
So this is what I'm currently listening to.
While you sleep.
Yeah, while I go to bed.
Rosetta Stone.
This audio program is presented...
Oh, okay. That sucks. Hold on. Let me...
Chapter 4.
What? It took the Chimera nearly 5 days at its 0.4 cruising speed to cover the 350 light years between Mercury and Wayland.
I like that guy. I like that guy's voice.
Anyways,
I feel like I recognize that guy's voice.
He does a lot of voices for the whole thing, and it's totally voiced, acted out Star Wars books. So yes, I do the same thing.
Actually, you listen to that at night?
It helps me a lot.
Do you miss the story? Like, what if you fall asleep then? Do you have to go back and listen to it again?
I try and remember where I fell asleep and go back.
Yeah. I try to remember.
So I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I also bought a fan that has a light on it that it can run at night.
Nice.
So I'm with you on that. I just think that the worst part for me is in hotels. Hotels are where it's the worst. Mm. So most of the time when people are like, oh, you got to share a room, you know, a lot of people are like, they got their own room. Why do I have to share a fucking room? But I'm like, man, yay.
Gotcha.
I can feel comfortable. Mm.
Mm. Dude, I'll sleep next to you if we ever share a room in.
Well, hey, you don't need two beds. You don't have to sleep next to me. I just need you in the room.
No, Anthony, I'll sleep next to you.
Well, the thing is, I need you not to be averse to snoring, too, because apparently I snore, and when I roomed to Colin, he was hating me.
Wow.
So. Our final email comes from Steve, the 40-year-old gamer.
Okay.
He says, I hit 40 earlier this year. I still feel passionate about gaming, and I'm considering joining the plethora of bloggers on the subject. As an avid follower of IGN, from time to time, I'll hear remarks to the effect that people over 40 aren't relevant to gaming.
You've never heard that on IGN, unless we're talking to Craig Harris and
either
shitting on him.
As part of the consumer market or as part of the industry itself. Granted, such remarks are generally wisecracks, so I gotta wonder how much of that is heartfelt and how much is just kidding.
It's all kidding.
Do you think you guys will ever outgrow gaming, either as a career or a pastime? Recent examples would be Brian Altano's remarks that someone 50 years old is too old to become part of the industry, and that Greg Miller being 40 years old still reviewing games would be the saddest game reviewer ever.
No, see, the point you're missing there is we're talking about I'm not talking about being a reviewer at 40 being depressing. I'm talking about my career stalling for 13 years or whatever it would be, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying, that at 28, I've reached the pinnacle of where I'm going, you know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. I would like to continue to move up in IGN. That's what we're saying. I don't expect to grow out of gaming. That's why I want to be dead before
plenty
old.
Plenty of people that make games are over 40.
Yeah, so. That's very true.
Sure. And I will say that I have a lot of respect for gamers that are older than me because their history with gaming as a culture goes further than mine.
We worked with someone that was way over 40 and was like the original games writer.
Yeah,
and he was awesome.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, like, you know, the passion for things doesn't usually die out if it's really deep rooted. And
just
so,
like, Ryan is definitely going to outgrow K-pop by the time he's 40. No, you're not. You like it. Whatever.
You never know. Well, actually, I think musical tastes are a little more susceptible to change over time. But
you still like music.
Exactly. Music.
The kind of games you might like change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that experience and wisdom, like, goes a long way, especially in an industry in which we have to be very creative and we have to have a knowledge base of the things that go years and years back. So
that, you know, you can be however old. When my friend's mom was 60-something, she got into Final Fantasy and then got into games. So whatever.
Yeah,
there you go. Live your life.
You're talking about an industry that's 40-some years old now, you know.
Yeah. Satoru Iwata should definitely just grow up and quit caring about games.
Yeah, never too old. Don't worry about that.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And the best part is, as the industry ages and gets older, too, it's just going to make more and more opportunities for games that we didn't expect before. That'll bring in people like us, old people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's all the scoops we have for you.
Burrito time.
Yeah, it was totally burrito time. I'm really hungry.
Okay, good.
I might do a burrito with you guys.
Thanks for gracing us with your presence.
I would love
amazing burrito.
Clements, I would love nothing more than to get a burrito with you.
Sounds good.
You're muy guapo.
Muy guapo.
Listeners in the Bay Area,
gracias.
Tomorrow night, Saturday, November 5th, is my final DJ set of the year. So if you're in the area, come out to Rocket Room in San Francisco.
Come if you like to dance, though.
Yeah.
Don't stand around.
No, come if you just like to drink. It's
fun. Dancing is fun and encouraged, but not required.
Clements dances enough for anybody there who doesn't want to dance.
No, me and Clements need help.
Always have a huge circle of people out there. And Sean's out there, and he's doing dumb stuff.
Anyways, it's at the Rocket Room in San Francisco, 10 to 2. Come.
Yeah. Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Greg. My name is Damon. This is IGN GamesCube, and we're out. Come get up. Beware,
IGN GamesCube. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it,
or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.